extend Christian greetings to each one. It is good to be in the house of God and to worship again. I've already been tremendously blessed by the singing and so on. I might make some comments on the song as you go throughout the message. It aligned with some of the thoughts that I have in the message. The title of the message this morning is I Want to Thank Jesus. There's a song that is very special to me that I've listened to for some years, and it's called I Want to Thank Jesus for the Plan of Salvation. And it starts with the chorus, I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hand. And then the verse, one morning at daybreak, a crowd slowly gathered. They were walking my Lord up old Calvary's hill. So sad was the scene there, the birds hushed their singing. Like a lamb he was humble to his Father's own will. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hands. So the title comes from that song, I Want to Thank Jesus. There's an amazing thought in this song, and that is, I want to be there on that great judgment morning. I want to be there. There's a lot of folks in this world that want to be there. The believer wants to be there. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. So there is a drawing of the Savior to bring people to himself in the initial salvation experience. And then beyond that, he wants us to draw near to him. And so there is a drawing from the initiation of salvation, and there is a drawing in the walk with Christ, which is given in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If I was going to have a theme verse this morning, it would be that, Hebrews 10:22. And the songs that we sang this morning, the two songs, really aligned with that thought. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. A bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Shake off the guilty fears. And later in that song, with confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. And then the second song, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. I think it's the last half of the first verse. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. And so when we think about the word thank you, it's a lot of thank yous to get passed around, maybe tossed around in our life. But there's a thankfulness that is a deep gratitude that yields so much more than verbal acknowledgement. Someone delivers a service, and we say thank you, and that is proper. However, there are those instances where the service given was so significant that a great indebtedness descends upon us that causes gratitude in a measure that compels us to appreciate, to honor, to seek the fellowship of and identify with the giver. And I don't know where maybe that has happened in your physical existence, but perhaps there is those times. There's instances you can look back to. There's a few in mind. But there is no greater gift than the gift of salvation that was purchased for humanity. The ultimate price of blood was paid on that cruel tree by our sinless Redeemer and Savior, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And lest we forget our pre-salvation condition, let us be reminded that we were. As in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll go there in a bit, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We're talking about this great price that was paid and our pre-salvation condition and what it was that made the difference that we can draw nigh, shake off our guilty fears, and know about that bleeding sacrifice. Ephesians 2:3 says that we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 2 says, ye were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our pre-salvation condition. And the penalty awaiting us in our pre-salvation condition was God's wrath and being lost for eternity to hell. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Again, our pre-salvation existence. But there was a great salvation that brought life. In Ephesians, the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. It's pointing back to the pre-salvation condition, but now we are something different. And you, referring to Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, it's you hath he quickened. He referring to Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read now in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through the end of the chapter, thinking about where we are now as believers. I'm going to speak to those who are right with God this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Listen, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. If that doesn't light, like it's been said, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. We'd like to, I'm not going to make a lot of comment on that scripture, just want to let it for the inspiration, just an overview again of our pre-salvation condition, Jesus Christ making the difference, and all the blessings that are there. And now focusing more on this thought of communion, This thought of communion, where in Hebrews 10:22, we already read it, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So there is this desire of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we draw near. As the song says, I want to thank Jesus. I want to be there in the great judgment morning. I want to touch all the nail prints in his hands and his feet. We want to draw near. And as I thought about how to thank Jesus, what is it in my life? We talked about that great gift that can be bestowed upon someone, and it descends upon us our indebtedness, and it changes our life. It makes us pursue a relationship with that person or to be identified with that person. How can we do that in this communion service? Or how is it that a communion service does this? I'd like to first of all look at the invitation to commune. The invitation to commune. This invitation to come to the communion table and to eat of the bread and drink of the cup and remember the Lord's death until he comes. It is not a casual invitation to a dinner party. Rather, it is an invitation from the bridegroom to the bride to enter a covenant relationship. And I just heard this the other day. I was listening to a discussion. And in cultural, so when Jesus said to the disciples, drink of the cup, this is the covenant of my blood. Eat of the bread. It was an invitation to enter into this covenant relationship. And the disciples knew exactly what Jesus was saying because this was something that happened when a bridegroom or a future bride and bridegroom were together. The father of the bridegroom would pour the wine into the cup and give it to the bridegroom. And the bridegroom would then offer it to the bride and say, drink. And for her to drink of that cup was a seal of the promise that I am yours. I am yours and you are mine. So with Jesus offering the cup to the disciples, he's saying, enter into this covenant relationship. Enter in and wait for my return in the clouds. Live for me. I'm going to give my life for you. This is our covenant. We are promised. So this invitation to communion, when Jesus said, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he come. It is a reminder that he is coming for us. And is a reminder to us of who we are. So this morning's communion service is not a casual invitation to a dinner party. It is a covenant reminder of a covenant relationship. Communion is not just a memorial. It is a memorial that engages us further into our relationship with Christ, our bridegroom. It energizes us to purity of walk and encourages us to be loyal and ready for our bridegroom's return for us, his bride. That's the communion service. See, there's many memorials in this world and ways to memorialize things and places and events and people. A lot of those are things that have happened, is past and gone. And Jesus' death and suffering is and has its place in history. It is true, it is past. And he died there. But he rose again. And he's our coming king. He's our bridegroom. All the names and all the terminology that Jesus Christ is, he is because he's alive. It is not a place and thing in history that dead and gone and there's just something set up to remember that and so that never goes away. No, it is something, it is a memorial for us as Christians that is also pointing ahead. It is not just looking back, but it's also looking ahead. And I hope you can feel that in your heart this morning. And I know the Christian experience is not just about feeling, but it's really nice when it's there. And I hope you can feel that this morning. What he has done. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation. So the second part of the message I'd like to look at. So we're thinking about this communion service. So what is it? How can we thank Jesus? And I know I'm looking at a thread of thought. It's not the entirety. But we thank Jesus for the plan of salvation by drawing near with a true heart in the communion service. We thank Jesus in that way. The true heart speaking of, we are sincere, not insincere. And then that is that in our hearts and on our lips, we know and we say that this covenant relationship with Jesus Christ is for real. I'm in it for real. I'm in it for the long haul. So we thank Jesus for the plan of salvation by drawing near with that true heart in this communion service. Maybe we'll give it this way. We talked about the bridegroom and the bride's talk there in the cup. So thinking of the thank yous that are passed around. So a young man and a young woman see each other for a while in courtship. And they get to the place where the young man says, you know what? I believe this is the girl for me. I want this young woman to be my wife. And so he asks the girlfriend, will you marry me? At that point, he is not wanting a verbal thanks for asking. Thanks for asking. The supreme thank you is the girl saying, yes, I will marry you. She don't have to say thank you. The thank you is in the yes. The thank you that we're giving Jesus Christ this morning is in the yes. Yes. The true heart that says to the invitation to marry is the embodiment of all that is and will be meaningful for the bridegroom. It is the greatest thank you that can be given until the marriage takes place. So, thinking of our relationship with Christ, every believer has already said yes to our bridegroom Jesus. We await the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our yes to Jesus is the embodiment of all that is and will be meaningful to him. And the communion service is refreshing that betrothal promise. Yes, Jesus. We come together and we are renewing, refreshing the yeses that we gave Jesus Christ at our conversion. Yeses to reading the scripture and doing what he says. We are refreshing those yeses. And that is the thanks that Jesus Christ not only deserves, but glories in. Let's just flesh it out a little bit. So the yes says to Jesus, I appreciate and honor you. I choose my future with you. That's what the yes says. Just as it would be, just as it is in our young men asking for the hand of the young sister in marriage. The yes says, I will pursue and grow this relationship in Jesus Christ. That's what the yes says. We come here this morning in the communion service, we're refreshing that. We are refreshing the promise, the yes that says, I will pursue and grow this relationship in Jesus Christ. I will follow him. The yes says, I will find my identity in you, Jesus Christ. I will be called by your name. I am a Christian. We are refreshing that yes in this service this morning. I will join your family, the people of God, Christians around the globe, this congregation. The yes says, I promise my allegiance to you. We are betrothed to Jesus Christ. I will not be untrue to Jesus by engaging in other loves. I will be true until death or until he comes for us, his bride. The yes says, I am only worthy of being yours because you called me and put on me your righteousness. You know how sad and how troublesome it is for a bride, or a bridegroom for that matter, but for the sake of the analogy, you know how sad it would be for a bride to say, you know, I am just the one you need. I am just perfect person. I am completely worthy of you. In fact, maybe you're not worthy of me. You know how sickening that is? But you know, sometimes Satan will tempt us on the other side, and we feel so unworthy to come to Jesus in communion because of our faults, because of our failures, because of our imperfections. But this yes that we have said to Jesus means that we are worthy because he put his righteousness on us. Now, that does not mean that we walk in recklessness or carelessness or presumptuous sin. Those things need to be taken care of. But in all of our efforts, in all of our walk, there are those things that we're just not, we don't walk in perfection. But it is Jesus Christ, it is that yes that we say to him, that we trust in his righteousness to come to him. So the yes says, I am worthy of being yours because you called me and put on me your righteousness. I have none of my own. Like I've just heard recently, that communion is not a reward for the perfect, rather it is a help for the sick. There's a lot of truth in that. And so this morning, that's what we're talking about, that refreshment that we need to find in this service. The refreshment of the yes that we gave to Jesus. The third part of the message is we thank Jesus by resting in his assurance in the communion service. And this is a similar thought that we just had, but it's a little different perspective. The yes says, I know you will present me faultless because you love me. You will present me faultless because you love me. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It seems tangled, and it's hard, it almost seems to untangle it, but how Jesus receives glory in the fact that we trust in him for our perfection and yet come to him for our help. But that's what he wants. That is our thanks to him, is going through life knowing that he presents us faultless to the Father. And walking in that assurance of salvation. And so one of the things is going through life, if we can just branch out a bit, going through life, one of the greatest gifts that you can give Jesus Christ your Savior is to rest in the assurance of your salvation. One of the greatest thanks that he will ever receive is seeing you, sister or brother, resting in that assurance of salvation because he is the one that did it. And for us to totally give up ourselves and believe that and rest in that, that he presents us faultless. It is him, not us. Why? Because we said yes to him. The yes says, I trust you to care for me, Jesus. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about refreshing that betrothal promise to Jesus Christ. And therein lies the great thanks that we are giving to him. We trust you that you will take care of us. You will provide for us. You will shelter us in the storms. You will sustain us in life. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He also said that I am the bread of life. He is all of that to us. And we need to go through life, and we need to be reminded in this service this morning that Jesus is that. The yes says, I believe you will keep your promises to me. promises of forgiveness of sins. He does forgive sins. He's still in that work. I don't know if I should call it a business, but he's in that. That's what he does. He still forgives sins. He keeps his promises. He said the scriptures give us those promises that we bring our sins to him and confess our sins. He will forgive our sins. And we need to simply believe those promises. He says he will keep us in the time of temptation. He will keep us from falling. He gives us power over the evil one. The promises of eternal life, and the promises and promises and promises. Our yes says that I believe you will keep your promises to me. The yes says I know you love and accept me. So the communion service is a refreshing of our love for our bridegroom. Our love and loyalty is the thanks he deserves. And so we have said yes to him as believers. And this morning we come together and we eat the bread and drink the cup. And we think about what he has done for us. And we think about the thanks that he deserves, which is our life and our loyalty, our love, our commitment, our dedication, our service. It's all for him. And so I'm convinced that the blessedness that is felt following a communion service is a reward of the believer for all the thanksgiving that God receives by Christians participating in communion. And I know for myself, I don't always grasp all of that. And so some of us came here this morning and it's just communion. There will be other communions that you feel differently. And I'm going to say, if I may, that that's okay if the way you came this morning, but hope you feel a little different right now. And that somewhere in your heart, as we go through life, that we can keep growing in our grasp of what all this means, and how that our life for God and just doing the simple thing of coming together and sharing in the bread and the cup reaches out into so many areas of our life. And in doing that, the thanks goes back to God and the glory goes back to God. And God says, yes, there is a group of Christians at Blue Ridge that's taking communion, and here's what all it means. And we're sitting down here and we're getting this much of what it means. But it means this much to God. So Hebrews 10:22 again, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's do that in this communion service. And just, if I may just read that song one more time. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hand. One morning at daybreak, a crowd slowly gathered. They were walking my Lord up old Calvary's hill. So sad was the scene there, the birds hushed their singing. Like a lamb, he was humble to his Father's own will. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on the great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints at his feet. That's him.